ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। सो वी जस्ट स्टार्टेड द 9th चैप्टर। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदसाङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यन्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। राविद्या राजगुह्ययोगो नाम नवमोऽध्यायः। So we just started last class. Let me start with the first verse itself. Shri Bhagavanuvacha Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyamyanasoyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnyatva mokshase shubhat इदं तु ते गुह्यतमं प्रवक्ष्याम्यनसोऽयवे ज्ञानं विज्ञानसहितं यज्ञात्वा मोक्षसे शुभात्। सो भगवान् इन् दिस् 9th चाप्टर् सेस् हि कण्टिन्यूस् हिस् टीचिङ्ग् again promising Arjuna that he would teach. Aham pravakshyami, I shall teach, I shall impart to you. But Krishna says, I shall teach you, I shall impart to you, I shall speak to you. He promises the wisdom, knowledge which Arjuna asked for in the very second chapter. He has been teaching, he has been talking. Again, he makes it very clear here. Arjuna, I'll teach you. But jnanam vijnana sahitam. He uses two words. I'm going to impart to you jnanam along with vijnanam. What does the word jnanam mean and what does the word vijnanam mean? Vijnanam is visesha jnanam. Jnanam is jnanam. Both words with the prefix vi, without the prefix vi, the word jnanam means knowledge only. But then why does he use two words? Two different words. Because the word jnanam implies Bhagavan's, the knowledge of Bhagavan's one prakriti. And vijnanam also implies knowledge of Bhagavan's another prakriti. And these the two prakritis we learned in 7th chapter itself, para prakritihi and apara prakritihi. These two prakritis constitute Bhagavan the whole. The two prakritis mean the two are inseparable. Para and apara prakritis are inseparable from each other. These two prakritis constitute Bhagavan Ishwaraha, the whole. So, knowledge of para prakritihi, which is essential nature of Bhagavan, the whole, the abstract nature of the very reality, the truth of the whole cosmos, is Swarupa Jnanam, Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam, is Nirguna Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam. Nirguna Ishwara Swarupa Jnanam ഈ ബ്രഹ്മജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് ദി അബ്സല്യൂട്ട് റിയാലിറ്റി ഈസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് പരാപ്രകൃതി. സോ ദി ഹയർ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ദ ഹോൾ ഈസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് പരാപ്രകൃതി ഈസ് മെന്റ് ബൈ ദ വേർഡ് വിജ്ഞാനം. ആൻഡ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് അപരാപ്രകൃതി ദറ്റ് ഈസ് സഗുണ ഈശ്വര ജ്ഞാനം, സഗുണ ഈശ്വര രൂപജ്ഞാനം, ഈശ്വര രൂപജ്ഞാനം ഓർ സഗുണ ഈശ്വര ജ്ഞാനം, നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഈശ്വര ഇൻ ദി ഹോം ഓഫ് ദ ഹോൾ കോസ്മോസ്. ഹൗ ക്യാൻ യു അപ്രീഷിയേറ്റ് ദി ഫാക്ട് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ഫോർ അസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ ഹോൾ ജഗത്. ദിസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻ ഇൻ ദി ഫോം ഓഫ് ഹോൾ ജഗത് ഈസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻസ് അപരാ പ്രകൃതി. The second nature, the inferior nature. So this knowledge of Bhagavan's apara prakriti or saguna ishvara jnanam or saguna rupa jnanam is meant by the word jnanam. So vijnanam and jnanam actually is knowledge of Bhagavan's para prakriti, knowledge of Bhagavan's apara prakriti, which is knowledge of Bhagavan as a whole. If we can understand Bhagavan, the Lord, Ishvara, in both, understanding both natures, understanding Bhagavan's para prakriti, Bhagavan's apara prakriti, is understanding Bhagavan the whole. So he, Krishna says, Vijnanam pravakshami, ജ്ഞാനം പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി സ വിജ്ഞാനം അലോങ് വിത്ത് നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻസ് എസെൻഷ്യൽ നേച്ചർ പരാപ്രകൃതി ആൽ ഇമ്പാർട്ട് യു നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവാൻസ് അപരാപ്രകൃതി ആൽസോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് വിച്ച് ഹാസ് ബീൻ ഓൾറെഡി ഡിസ്കസ് ദി സെവൻത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു കം ഹിയർ അഗൈൻ. നൗ യു നോ ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് വൈ ഭഗവാൻ Why does Bhagavan choose to teach Arjuna again the same thing? Now Krishna says, Anasuya vete. I said, Anasuyuhu is an adjective. Actually, the word asuya is taken to be jealousy. I told last class itself. But here, asuya, how do we express? In fact, it's not jealousy. It's expression of jealousy. Expression of jealousy is asuya. You know, expression of jealousy is asuya. This para para paranam guneshu dosha darshanam asuya. Paranam guneshu dosha darshanam. Dosha darshanam. Darshanam palata. Paranam ഗുണേഷു ദോഷ ദർശനം അസൂയ. സി ട്രൈങ് ടു ഫൈൻഡ് ഫോൾട്ട്, സം ഡിഫെക്ട് ഓർ ദി അതർ ഇൻ എനിത്തിങ് പ്രൈസ് വർത്തി ഓഫ് അതർ പീപ്പിൾ ഈസ് കോൾഡ് പരാണാം ഗുണേഷു ദോഷ ദർശനം, വിച്ച് ഈസ് എക്സ്പ്രഷൻ ഓഫ് ജലസി. Somebody is praised for something. You know, this boy, just 10-year-old, he's expert in cricket. He plays so well. You know, this boy. And he's best in the Baro Sare. Another person says, yeah, my son also plays. He's plays well, but you know, but he's not regular. Something. When somebody is appreciated, praised, glorified, and immediately you express as to accepting it, at the same time you try to find fault with something. It doesn't need to be only this, it can be anything. So paranam or paresham gunesh dosha darshanam asuya. And one who has asuya is asuyuhu, masculine gender, asu, anasuyuhu, is the one who does not criticize, find fault with. But here, what is Arjuna is not finding fault with? The Shastra, the teacher, the teaching. So Arjuna does not find fault with the teaching, disrespect the Shastra. There's respect is there. So Krishna says, Ranaso yuhu, you accept the Shastram, not find fault with the Shastram, not criticize the Shastram. You are not even asking questions simply to test the teacher or to challenge the teacher. That is the quality, our student. So te anasuyave, to you, who is anasuyu, who has reverence for the teaching, but who does not criticize, I find fault with the teaching, unto you, I shall, Arjuna, impart definitely both knowledge of, I'll give you the knowledge of both prakritis. And as I said, having knowledge of both prakritis of Ishvara is having knowledge of Bhagavan, the whole. So, apara prakriti jnanam is saguna Ishvara jnanam. Para prakriti jnanam is nirguna Ishvara swarupa jnanam. Therefore, you will understand sagunam Brahma Ishvara, understand nirgunam Brahma Ishvara swarupam also. This is what Krishna said. And this is the greatest secret. There's no greater secret, bigger secret than this. Why? Because it is the knowledge of the very knower, the searcher. It is knowledge of the one who is searching. Knowledge of the swarupam of the very searcher. Somebody is searching for something. The searcher is different from what is searched for. What is searched for is different from the searcher. You search for your pen, you search for your pencil, you search for your watch, you search for your keys. Always what is searched for, artha, kama, dharma. When you search for artha, kama, dharma, as a seeker of artha, kama, dharma, you're searching for something other than yourself. When a person is, of course, absolutely, everyone is searching for one's own swarupam, which is moksha. But when you knowingly, when you search for what you're searching for, then what is searched for is your own swarupam. Unknowingly, without the purushartha jnanam, when you search for something, you're searching for something not knowing what you're searching for. Not knowing where you should search for also. So when you ignorantly search for moksha, you have no purushartha nischaya. But knowingly when you search for moksha, you have purushartha nischaya. But when you search for moksha, then what you have searched for is not different from you, the searcher. It is your own swarupa. Therefore, and discovering one's own swarupam is the secret here. For guhyatamam, the greatest secret. Because what is searched for is absolutely the very swarupam of the searcher. This greatest secret I'll impart to you because you're anasuyuhu. Which is nothing but the knowledge of Bhagavan as a whole. You understand Bhagavan's aparaprakriti. I will teach Bhagavan's paraprakriti. And yat jnatva, knowing Bhagavan as a whole. When you discover Bhagavan's apara prakriti, you discover your own swarupam. Being Bhagavan, yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. When you discover Bhagavan's para prakriti, you will see there's nothing in the world is away from Bhagavan. Then, in gaining both this knowledge of both para and apara prakriti, you have a complete knowledge of Bhagavan, the whole, where you see absolutely everything is, absolutely what is non-dual reality. So apara prakriti jnanam will bless one with vision. Apara prakriti jnanam is actually advaita darshanam. Para prakriti jnanam is dvaita jnanam. In understanding para prakriti, apara prakriti, one can see oneself being different from Bhagavan. At the same time, one can see everything is Bhagavan. Whereas in apara prakriti jnanam, one can see one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole universe being non-separate from Bhagavan. Therefore, it is advaita abheda jnanam. The knowledge of non-duality of reality where one can resolve all differences. And in having all differences resolved cognitively, having resolved all the divisions cognitively, division of non-duality of reality, one can discover a freedom as the very nature of reality, obtaining as one's own swarupa. For Krishna says, having understood Ishvara's para prakriti and apara prakriti, jnanam, having gained jnanam as well as vijnanam, Arjuna, you will be liberated from inauspicious, undesirable, beginningless, endless births and deaths, fraught with fear and experience of pairs of opposites. Shubhat Mokshise. Krishna says in this first verse, we'll move on to the next verse. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. Pavitramidamuttamam. Pavitramidamuttamam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam. Susukham Kartumavyayam. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitramidamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumavyayam. So Bhagavan says, Raja Vidya and Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Pratyaksha Avagamam, Pratyaksha Avagamam, Dharmyam, Susukham, Kartum, Avyayam. See, Bhagavan himself is praising the knowledge in the second verse, which he is going to impart. The first verse he said what he was going to impart. Now he is praising what he is going to impart. Why? If anybody has to pay more attention to what is being said, you must know the greater value of what it is about. See, one must know the value of what is being said in order to be receptive. If we do not know, if we do not understand the value of what is being taught, what is being said, what is being conveyed, then we may not pay more adequate attention. Then we may not receive properly. Then we cannot benefit from what is being conveyed. Of course, it's the 9th chapter. So Krishna himself said, Arjuna is no more not an anasuyuhu. Arjuna has great shabda. Arjuna, in fact, himself begged for this knowledge. Of course, he will listen to him carefully. But still, Krishna praises this knowledge. He says, if we look for the word there, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idam, Uttamam, Idam. You all know this word Idam is a third person singular pronoun. Third person singular pronoun, which means Idam, this. It's a neuter noun, neuter pronoun. It's a pronoun, but it's neuter gender word. Idam, this. Why? Because Idam, he says, Idam Jnanam, this knowledge. Idam Jnanam, which he has already mentioned. Idam Jnanam, this knowledge, Arjuna. Idam, you add a Jnanam there. It will become very nice. Idam Jnanam, this knowledge which I am going to impart to you, along with Vijnanam, this knowledge is, he says, Rajavidya. It's not an ordinary knowledge. It's a Rajavidya, it's a royal wisdom, royal knowledge. What does it mean, royal knowledge, royal wisdom? The word Raja means the one who shines. Of course, we all know the meaning of the word Raja means king. But why king is known by the word Raja? Because one who shines. The word Raja literally means king. Actually, what it implies is the one who shines. Rajate iti Raja. That which shines is Raja. One who shines, the person who shines, the well-known person is Raja. The king is supposed to be the shining person, well-known person. The shines means one who is well-known, one who is known for his values, one who is known for his commitment to dharma, one who is known for his scholarship, one who is known for his valor, one who is known for his support he offers for his the fine arts, the one who is known for his commitment to protection of prajas. Like Raja is the one who shines. Therefore, a king is called Raja. But here, therefore, the word Raja Guhyam means the knowledge which is the exalted. Raja Guhyam, Raja Vidya means is the most exalted knowledge. Greatest knowledge. Most exalted knowledge, Raja Vidya. And here, Raja Guhyam is also, again, the word Raja should be taken as exalted. The word Raja, the most shining, literal meaning. But here, the most exalted secret. The most exalted knowledge, the most exalted secret, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. Greatest knowledge, greatest secret. Idam Jnanam, which I'm going to impart to you. So already he said, Guhyatamam. Now again he says, it is the exalted knowledge, exalted secret. Now, Uttamam. Uttamam. Uttamam means good, the best. But here Uttam should be taken as adjective of the word Pavitram. Uttamam Pavitram. Pavitram means, that which purifies is pavitram. So that which purifies is pavitram, the purifying knowledge. Anything which purifies is looked upon as the sacred. And this knowledge which I'm going to impart to you, Arjuna, which is exalted, it is great, and also it is, she says, the sacred, uttamam pavitram, highly sacred. Why highly sacred? It is the most purifying. We are going to see later on. Jnanena sadrusham pavitram iha na vidyate. There is nothing which is as purifying as the jnanam. Because why we all want purification? Because absolute purity is equal to absolute peace of mind. Absolute peace of mind is what actually absolute happiness. The everlasting, permanent, limitless happiness. Peace of mind. And the non-disturbable peace of mind. And that is possible on absolute mental purity. The total mental purity. And then what is that which is capable of purifying? There's nothing which is as cleansing and as purifying as the jnanam. It is the right perspective of the self, the right perspective of the world will help us resolve all the unwanted thoughts. As long as this error in the perception of the self and the world, we will be helplessly entertaining lots of thoughts, confusions. In fact, there's nobody who is absolutely unconfused. A certain degree of clarity may be there, but absolutely confusion-free mind is not there at all. The wise person's mind is the confusion-free, because there is right perspective of the self and the world. Therefore, all the unwanted thoughts will be resolved for good. Therefore, there is absolute purity. In jnanam, there is right perception, right perception. When there is right perspective, then there is absolute purity. And absolute purity means there is absolute peace of mind, non-disturbable peace of mind. That's why there's nothing which is as purifying as the knowledge. Jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha na vidyate. We are going to see another context. But here Krishna says, uttamam pavitram, highly purifying. It means the most sacred knowledge, which is the absolutely purifying knowledge. And then he says, pratyaksha avagamam. And this wisdom, pratyaksha avagamam. Avagamam means avagamyam. Avagamyam means attainable. And how do we attain this jnanam? Not indirectly. Pratyaksha avagamam means you can just, once you're listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram, this wisdom, knowledge, it should take place. As you're listening repeatedly, you must see. But it's a pratyaksha avagamam means directly attainable knowledge. Directly attainable means just listening to the unfoldment of the words of the Shastram should help one discover the truth, understand the fact, without using any other means of knowledge. For directly attainable knowledge, pratyaksha avagamam. Not only that, dharmyam. Anything pertaining to dharma is called dharmyam. But here, dharmyam means this knowledge, attainment of this knowledge of Bhagavan as a whole. Bhagavan, the Swarupa Jnanam and Bhagavan's Rupa Jnanam. Knowledge of Bhagavan's form, knowledge of Bhagavan's essential nature. Knowledge of Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. This knowledge, attainment of this knowledge, in no way is, opposed to dharma. For dharmyam jnanam. Dharmyam jnanam. I'll explain again. And here, kartum susukham. Kartum means to do, to make. To make this jnanam means what? To attain this jnanam, to pursue this jnanam. Pursuit of this jnanam does not involve any difficulty. Sukham here does not mean happiness. It is used as an adverb here. Susukham. Easily, easy to pursue. This knowledge can be pursued effortlessly, which means what? Very easy to, sukham easy, very easy to pursue this jnanam. And this jnanam, is it difficult to pursue the jnanam? That's why, is difficult to pursue this jnanam? No, it is not at all difficult. Which means, not really not difficult, it is easy to pursue this jnanam. How can we say it is easy to pursue this jnanam? See, physics knowledge, pursuing knowledge of physics or chemistry is not difficult for a person who is interested in physics and chemistry. Pursuing knowledge of being given to the pursuit of knowledge of mathematics is not difficult at all for a person who has tremendous interest in the jnanam. So no subject matter is difficult to understand or pursue if there is interest, the person has the interest is possible if the person knows the value of what he or she is studying. And here also, it is susukham kartum for a person who has purushartha nischaya and who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam. Who has great shraddha in jnanam, who has also interest in jnanam. Kartum susukham, very easy to pursue this jnanam. And then, once you gain this jnanam, see, any knowledge you gain, of course, every knowledge is what? No. Every knowledge is subject to get perished. Avyayam jnanam. This is imperishable. Why is imperishable? Knowledge of anything else is knowledge of anything which is subject to change. Whereas knowledge of the unchangeable, changeless, the reality which is of the nature of knowledge of the fact is imperishable. Therefore, it is knowledge of the imperishable reality, knowledge of the nature of Bhagavan, saguna, aparaprakriti and paraprakriti. What is the nature of paraprakriti? What is the nature of aparaprakriti? Change is the unchangeable nature of aparaprakriti. Changelessness is the nature of paraprakriti. And this is the fact about both the prakritis, which is not subject to change. Please understand. Apara prakriti is, change is the unchangeable nature of apara prakriti. changelessness is the unchangeable nature of para prakriti. And this is the fact about both the prakritis, which is not subject to change. But knowledge of this fact is also what? Avyayam. Unchangeable means what? Imperishable. This imperishable knowledge. So Krishna just presents the praise of this knowledge here in this verse. Idam jnanam, this knowledge which I'm going to impart to you, Arjuna, along with vijnanam, is not an ordinary knowledge. It is the most exalted knowledge. It is the most exalted secret. And this is the most purifying sacred knowledge. And attainment of his knowledge is not at all opposed to dharma. It is directly attainable and very easy to pursue. And this knowledge is imperishable knowledge. So, why this is the most exalted knowledge? Because it is the only knowledge which can free one from bondage. Any other knowledge will keep one bound, will keep one in samsara. Whereas, what is that knowledge by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? What is that by gaining which everything else is attained as it were? It is this knowledge. Having knowledge of Ishvara, para prakriti is actually having the knowledge of the absolute reality, Brahma, which is the having knowledge of one's own self. And this knowledge is the greatest, because attainment of this knowledge, by attaining this knowledge, everything else becomes attained as it were. One need not attain anything else afterwards. And knowing this, everything else becomes known as it were. That is why it is the absolute knowledge. Not only that, it is this knowledge which alone liberates one from bondage of samsara. Because other than the knowledge of para prakriti and apara prakriti, understanding Brahma and Ishvara, any knowledge is knowledge of mithya, which is as good as not there. And here, even though this is, the knowledge is of this glory, this fame, still, it is not easily, it doesn't become interesting for all the people. One needs really a special punyam to have interest in this jnanam also. Therefore, it's also Rajaguhyam. As I said already, it's the most purifying. I explained to you already why it is most purifying. Because we try to do so much to have mental purity. Why we want to have mental purity? Because mental purity is required for mental peace. The manasa shantihi, manashantihi, the peace of mind is possible. Now, if there is mental purification, why? Because if there is jealousy, if there is anger, if there is hatred, if there is a fear, if there is anxiety, if there are likes and dislikes, and if there are wrong notions and conclusions about people and situations, then there won't be peace. So all these are in the form of thoughts, and all these will resolve if the sense of inadequacy is centered on I is resolved. And for which then what is needed is right perspective of the self and the world also. Independence in wrong perspective of the world, then we are dependent on the world for happiness and security. A lot of expectations from others and the world. And every time we expect more, we are dependent on the world more, and we'll be more and more disappointed. So there'll be all sorts of thoughts associated with such wrong perception. But to have all the thoughts resolved for good effortlessly is possible only when the perspective of the world changes, the perspective of the self also should change, for which jnanam is the only sadhana. Nothing else can help us correct the error in perception of the self and the world. That is why in right perception, when all the thoughts, disturbance, expressions of mental disturbance are resolved, what is there is peace of mind. Then peace of mind means, of course, there is that the purity implies peace of mind, which is expression of again fullness, vision of one's own sarupa. Therefore, this is the most purifying knowledge. And the second thing, it is dharmyam. Means it is not opposed to a dharma. Which means the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, the teaching of this paravidya, this teaching of aparaprakriti and paraprakriti in terms of jnanam and vijnanam, which is given here, the teaching given in Bhagavad Gita is definitely in conformity with the Vedic teaching. Because Veda Shastram is the absolute source of knowledge. The authentic source of knowledge is the Veda Shastram. Of course, in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we understood this fact. Why Krishna is repeating it here? To emphasize the fact that no teaching can be accepted as teaching if it is not in conformity with Vedic teaching. The very introduction to Bhagavad Gita, even when you read the Dhyana Shlokas, we already knew Bhagavad Gita presents the essence of the Upanishads only. We already understood this fact. But still Krishna repeats here by mentioning this word, using this word dharmyam jnanam. By way of glorifying the teaching, what he is going to impart here, by using the term dharmyam, Krishna reinforces the fact the teaching given here, the knowledge imparted here is dharmyam. It is not opposed to dharma, means it is absolutely based on the Vedic teaching. Because Veda is the most authentic source of knowledge for us. Because in Sampradaya, the teaching in any text is accepted if it is in conformity with the Vedic teaching. And all other texts apart from Veda Shastram, all other texts which also teach the same thing in conformity with the Veda Shastram, without contradicting or condemning the Vedic teaching, if other texts also teach the same thing in conformity with the Vedic teaching, then those texts all come under the category of Smritihi. Smriti. And we know already Bhagavad Gita has Smriti Prasthanam. So Ramayana, we accept Ramayanam, accept Mahabharatam, we accept all 36 Puranas, we accept. Even other texts also, written in original languages later on by other acharyas, we accept them as long as all those texts, the content of those texts is in conformity with Vedic teaching. That is how tradition accepts the teaching. So, anything which does not tally, which agree with the Vedic teaching, is definitely not at all accepted by any thinking Indian mind. Even India is not accepted. Even Shankaracharya is very strong in saying, asampradayavit murkhavat upekshaniyaha. One who does not follow the tradition, it means that if the teaching is not in keeping with the Veda Shastram, then it is not at all, it should be just rejected. Rava Shankaracharya says, even today, all three acharyas are very well known. Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, you know, they have slight differences in their teaching. The interpretations are different, but still all of them are respected because the teaching, all the teachings are based on the Veda Shastram only. Veda Dvaitam, Visishta Dvaitam, even though we understand here Dvaitam, but why they're also surviving in India? Because they're all based on the Veda Shastram. So Veda is for us the most important Mula Shastra. So Krishna again emphasizes that fact here. This teaching here, given here, is dharmyam. It's not opposed to the, not, it's unopposed to dharma, means it is in conformity with Veda Shastram here. So even though certain other schools of thought which originated in India itself, we have other Shastra, according to today's the worldwide very well popular. Offshoots of Hinduism also, they are known as offshoot of Hinduism. Like Bauddha Darshanam, I mean this school of thought, Bauddha philosophy of with all its branches, Jaina philosophy with all its branches. They all survived because of the dharma, emphasis on dharma of ahimsa. But they're all nastika darshanani. See, they originated from India, having ahimsa as the paramo dharma. Therefore, they could survive outside of India. But in India itself, they did not survive much because it's not acceptable in anything non-Vedic. It's not acceptable.
You want to drink water?
Anyway, so Krishna makes it very clear by saying dharmyam. So in this context, the word dharma means Veda Shastra. Dharma also means the Vedic way of life, or Vedic teaching is meant by the word dharma. Dharmyam means anything pertaining to Veda Shastram. Vedic teaching is dharmyam. So dharmyam, Shankaracharya writes, Dharmat Anapetam. Dharmat Anapetam means Veda Patanat Anapetam. That's the meaning. Then, Kartum Susukham. Sukham. Susukham. See, attainment of freedom, discovery of freedom while living is what actually discovery of comfort in this very life. So, knowledge of apara prakritihi is actually will result in freedom while living, jivan muktihi. So we don't need to work very hard, perform rituals, practice upasanam, work hard and go to travel through gatis, go to Brahmaloka, there attain jnanam. It involves tremendous amount of strain. Whereas if we carefully, repeatedly listen to the unfoldment of the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, as given here, if Bhagavan's apara prakritihi jnanam is attained, apara prakriti jnanam is actually attainment of knowledge of one's own swarupam. There's no way of discovering apara prakriti of Bhagavan without having discovered one's own swarupam. Even though the word sounds very difficult, apara prakritihi, Bhagavataha apara prakritihi. What is Bhagavata? What is Bhagavan's higher nature? Discovery of Bhagavan's higher nature, para prakritihi. Discovery of Bhagavan's higher nature, para prakritihi. Sorry, I'm used to apara prakriti. Discovery of Bhagavan's higher nature, para prakritihi, is actually discovery of one's own swarupam. And once this jnanam is there, then there is, you've attained jivan muktihi. Well, it is easily attainable. It is very easy to attain here, right now, in this very life itself. Which means, to attain krama muktihi, not only one has to travel, the travel is involved, which is not, again, non-verifiable. The paths are involved, non-verifiable. Lokas are mentioned, non-verifiable. Again, one cannot enjoy that until one leaves his physical body. Only after the death, only it is possible. Again, non-verifiable. Whereas, jivan muktihi can be, one need not wait for the death to come. The day you, as you discover, as the clarity enhances, the more and more comfortable life becomes. And you discover sukham right now here. Var kartum susukham. Susukham means, there's only two muktis, okay? Videha mukti. The jivan muktihi, sadhyo muktihi, or krama muktihi. Whether you attend jivan mukti or krama muktihi, videha mukti is definite. I mean, there's no more rebirth. But to attain krama muktihi, one has to work very hard. Well, Krishna is saying, attainment of jivan muktihi through the understanding of para prakriti of Ishvara as one's own swarupam is much easier than attainment of krama muktihi. Then, this knowledge also is avyayam jnanam. Any knowledge we gain, and the result, enjoyable result of attainment of that knowledge is subject to change. Whereas here, the result, attainment of this knowledge, result of the attainment of knowledge is moksha, which is everlasting. Moksha is not subject to change. By doing any karma, by knowing something else, then you enjoy the benefit of that knowledge, then that knowledge benefit is time bound. Because everything is time bound here. Whereas moksha, once you discover as a result of this jnanam, and the moksha happens to be a one's own sarupam, it is permanent. Therefore, this is avyayam jnanam, means not about this jnanam, the knowledge itself is freedom, which is permanent, everlasting freedom. Discovery of everlasting freedom is attainable through the knowledge of the everlasting Bhagavan sarupam. Therefore, this knowledge is avyayam jnanam, imperishable knowledge. So now Krishna sort of presented beautifully the glory of this wisdom, this jnanam he is going to impart in this chapter along with vijnanam. Let us see the next verse now. Ashraddhadhana purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Ashraddhadhana purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Ashraddhadhanah purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Ashraddhadhanah purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Now Bhagavan starts his teaching gradually. Having presented the glory of this knowledge, what this knowledge is all about, now Krishna continues in this verse saying, suppose if a person does not have Shraddha in this jnanam, then there is no way of understanding Bhagavan. If a person has no interest in this teaching, no faith in this teaching, no Shraddha in this teaching, then in what way the person can attain this jnanam? Natural, isn't it? To attain this jnanam of Bhagavan as a whole, understand Bhagavan as a whole by understanding his apara prakriti and para prakriti. To enjoy the benefit of this knowledge also, one must have first of all Shraddha in the teaching. The Shraddha itself is not there. If the faith is not there, then the value had understood means that person cannot attain this jnanam. If he cannot attain this jnanam, then there's no way of discovering freedom. There's no way of discovering freedom means helplessly, choicelessly, one has to continue to be in this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, samsara. Okay. This also Krishna says now. After praising the jnanam, even after having understood how glorious this knowledge is, the person does not come to know the value of jnanam. Therefore, he does not have shraddha in this teaching. Then there's no way of freeing himself from bondage. This was also Krishna presence indirectly to discover the value of teaching only. There's no way of freeing oneself from bondage without the jnanam. There's no way of attaining jnanam without the shraddha. One must have shraddha first. Attaining jnanam, one can discover freedom. So this is the fact Krishna reveals in this third verse. Ashraddhanah purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Ashraddhanah purushah dharmasyasya parantapa. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Krishna says, hey Parantapa, he is calling Arjuna as Parantapa. I already explained the meaning of the word Parantapaha. Is a vocative case, therefore Parantapa, hey Parantapa. If it is nominative, it would have been Parantapaha. But because Arjuna, hey Parantapa. Paran tapati iti Parantapaha. Paraha means other person. Other person here is, the one who disagrees with you is other person. The one who disagrees with you is the one who does not follow dharma. If you are a follower of dharma, the other person who does not agree with you must be a non-follower of dharma, a non-righteous person. Non-righteous person must be the enemy of the righteous person. Therefore, parantapaha means one who scorches the enemies, the scorcher of enemies who are non-righteous. Hey Parantapa, Arjuna, dharmasya asya ashraddhanaha purushaha. Shraddhadhanaha means one who has shraddha. One who has shraddha means one who has faith, unflinching faith in this, the teaching is shraddha. Shraddhadhanaha. Ashraddhadhanaha. Ashraddhanah, shraddhadhanah, ashraddhadhanah. One who hasn't placed faith in Shastra. Ashraddhadhanah means people. Ashraddhadhanah purushah. Purushah here generally means all human beings, people who do not have faith. Or ashraddhadanaha purushaha. And do not have faith in what? Faith. Asya dharmasya means asmin dharme. Asya dharmasya. Here the word dharmaha means the teaching based on Vedic teaching is dharmaha here. Dharmaha in this context means the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which Bhagavan Krishna is imparting, which is totally in conformity with the Vedic teaching, is dharmaha. So, asya dharmasya ashraddhadanaha purushaha. Ashraddhadanaha purushaha means the people who do not have faith in this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which is absolutely in conformity with Vedic teaching. Asya dharmasya ashraddhadanaha purushaha. Mam aprapya. mam aprapya means without having attained me. Prapya, see, op is the root, pra is the prefix. Verb prapya, aptva, having attained. So prapnoti attains, prapya having attained. But aprapya without having attained. Without having attained me, mom, me. Krishna says, without having attained me, and Bhagavan Krishna says, without having attained me, what he means is, without having understood me. Without having understood me means without having understood the Lord, Bhagavan. Without having understood Bhagavan. Without having understood the concept of Bhagavan. Without having understood Bhagavan's Swarupam as well as Rupam. Without having understood the truth. Without having knowledge of Para and Apara Prakritis of Bhagavan. Without having understood Bhagavan. They return. Nivartante means they return. The return, nivartante, return means what? One, they attain birth, then they live their lives, pursuing arthakamana dharmas, continue to be ignorant, again they die ignorant, and again they are born. Nivartante means they return, many times. Endlessly they return again and again and again and again and again. Birth after birth after birth. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. They continue to return into this life of samsara. Fraught with birth and death. Mrityu samsara vartmani nivartante. Nivartante, they return continuously, definitely, in the beginningless, endless cycle of samsara. Fraught with death. Mrityuhu means death. Where death is inevitable. Death is inevitable means again rebirth is inevitable. And birth and death are inevitable means going through pairs of opposites. Experience of pairs of opposites also is inevitable. This is samsara. So, mrityu samsara vartmani nivartante means samsara is inevitable. See, vartma means path. Vartmani, in the path. In the path means in the course. In the course of samsara. Samsarasya vartmani, samsara vartmani. Vartman. Vartman. Is a nakaranta shabda. Vartmani is a locative case. Vartmani. Vartman. Vartmani. In the course of samsara fraught with death. Death implies birth also. Fraught with continuous birth and death, including going through experience of pairs of opposites. They continue to return definitely in the course of samsara, fraught with death, birth, and experience of pairs of opposites. Why a person has to continue in samsara? Because they do not attain Bhagavan. They do not attain Bhagavan means, I told you, we can never attain Bhagavan physically. Attainment of Bhagavan is always attainment of the knowledge of Bhagavan. Attainment of Bhagavan is attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan. Attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan is attainment of knowledge of both para prakriti and apara prakriti. And attainment of para prakriti, apara prakriti is attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan being the whole. And attainment of apara prakriti, sorry, para prakriti is attainment of Bhagavan Sarupam as one's own Sarupam. And without which this knowledge is not there, there's no way of escaping samsara. And one cannot attain his jnanam if a person does not have shraddha in the very teaching. Asya dharmasya ashraddhadhanaha purushaha. People who do not have shraddha of this faith, means we should do not have shraddha in this faith, who do not have faith in this very teaching. People who do not have shraddha of this dharma, of this teaching, shraddha of this teaching means in this teaching, hey Parantapa, they never understand Bhagavan. Without, they may be religious, they may be ethical, but they're not spiritual. They do not attain, in spite of being worshippers of Bhagavan, devotees of Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan, still without having understood Bhagavan, with all punyam, they'll be born again, they continue to be in samsara. There's no moksha possible at all without Bhagavat Sakshatkara. Bhagavat Sakshatkara is impossible without having faith in the very teaching. Because pursuit of teaching, pursuit of knowledge is not possible if there's no shraddha in the teaching, and without which attainment of knowledge is not possible, therefore moksha is also not possible. Bhagavan presents beautifully the order. What if you want moksha? Have attain jnanam. You want to attain jnanam? First of all, have shraddha in the very teaching. He emphasizes this fact in this verse, third verse. I think we are going beautifully. Ashraddha danaha purushaha. He parantapa. Asya dharmasya. Ashraddha danaha purushaha. Mam aprapya. Mrityu samsara vartmani nivartante. Ashraddhadhana purushaha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitaha. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitaha. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitah. Matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavasthitah. So here, Bhagavan says, this is the literal meaning first, maya tatam idam sarvam. Maya tatam idam sarvam. The very first opening statement, sentence, is a sentence in passive voice. idam sarvam, all this, idam, this, sarvam, all, idam sarvam, this, all. So sarvam idam, all this. All this means what? Jagat. Idam sarvam jagat. Idam sarvam jagat means all this universe, means this entire universe. The entire universe. Idam sarvam jagat. Idam sarvam jagat. This, all this universe. The universe is the entirety. Maya tatam. See, tata is a past passive participle, which means pervaded. Maya tatam, pervaded by me. First thing he says, hey Arjuna, idam sarvam jagat maya tatam. I'll unfold this verse next week, but let us see the little meaning today. Idam sarvam jagat maya tatam, this entire universe, all this here is, the universe is pervaded by me. How can we understand? This is a statement of fact. When Bhagawan says, this entire universe is pervaded by me, means, how can we understand all pervasiveness of Bhagawan if we do not understand what Bhagawan is? Bhagawan pervades this whole universe. Everything here is pervaded by Bhagawan, means there's nothing which exists outside of Bhagawan. This is a fact about Bhagawan. It's not simply to say this. This is a fact which we should understand. We simply say 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. It's not simply, don't simply understand it. It's a fact. You understand how it is. 1 plus 1 is to 2. Similarly, here this is a fact. Maya idam sarvam tatam. Idam sarvam jagat maya tatam. This entire universe is pervaded by me. And how Bhagawan pervades the entire universe. But do we see this fact? It is not physically perceptible. It is a fact to be understood, appreciated cognitively. This is the Bhagawan pervades everything. All this universe, all this here in this universe is pervaded by the Lord, is a fact, and which is to be appreciated cognitively. It cannot be seen physically. Seen through physical eyes. And how Bhagawan pervades, his Bhagawan says, avyakta murtina maya. Avyakta murtihi, aham avyakta murtihi. Avyakta murtihi means imperceptible form. One who is of imperceptible form is avyakta murtihi. The abstract, subtlest form. How subtlest it is? Unobjectifiable, imperceptible, inconceivable form. Avyakta murtihi. Avyakta murtihi yasya saha avyakta murtihi. Bhagawan whose murti is a form. One whose form is imperceptible. One who is of imperceptibly subtlest abstract form. Avyakta murti means what? The one who is of imperceptibly abstract subtlest form. It's called avyakta murti. Ikaranta shabda. So avyakta murtina is adjective of maya. Avyakta murtina maya idam sarvam jagat tatam. Avyakta murtina maya idam sarvam jagat tatam. He Arjuna, all this universe, entire universe is pervaded by me, who is of imperceptibly abstract, subtlest form. Therefore, he says, Matsthani Sarvabhutani. If Bhagavan pervades everything in the universe, means all the beings are in Bhagavan. Matsthani. Okay. Aham sthanam yesham bhutanam. Tani matsthani. Bhagavan is the very existence. Bhagavan is the sthanam, place of all the beings. Like water is the locus of all the waves, waveforms. Bhagavan in the form, Bhagavan who is of imperceptibly abstract form, is the locus of all the beings. Existence of all the beings. Matsthani sarvabhutani means sarvabhutani, all the beings. Matsthani means are in me. All the beings are in me means all the beings enjoy their existence in me. All the beings enjoy their existence in me means I am the very existence of all the beings. All of them are in me. But nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. Nacha aham, aham na, and I am not in them. I do not remain in them. Aham na avasthitaha. Avasthitaha means I remain in them. I do not remain in them. Aham teshu in them na avasthitaha. I do not remain in them. Means I am not in them, but they are all in me. I am oft imperceptibly abstract, subtlest form, and by such me, all this is pervaded here. Literal meaning we have seen, we'll see the meaning next class. Slowly he begins. This is how, now it takes time for you to understand even how the teaching is given. What, how introduced, three verses are over. The fourth verse. Every word, Avyakta Murtihi is the name of Bhagavan. One of the words indicating, implying Bhagavan. It's a compound word. Avyakta Murtihi Yasya Saha Avyakta Murtihi. What is the form of Bhagavan? Abstract form, subtlest form. Subtlest formlessness is the form of Bhagavan. Formless, abstract, subtlest form. What is subtlest? Imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable. That's why Avyakta Murtihi. And by such Bhagavans, who's of that form, this whole universe is pervaded. Which means, Matsthani Sarvabhutani, all beings enjoy their existence in me. Matsthani means what? Aham Sthanam Yesham Bhutanam. Tani Bhutani Matsthani. I'm the very locus, I'm the very existence of all the beings. Therefore, all of them are in me. Whereas I am not in them. Means water is not in the ocean, but the ocean is in the water. It's a little translation. Okay, example. We'll continue next class. Sorry, I was late a few minutes because I was just doing some puja. Any questions? No questions today?
Swami, when he, sorry,
go ahead, please go ahead.
When you say Vyaktam, you said Swamini, subtlest form, can you interpret as unmanifest as well as Vyaktam?
No, I do not use the name. What unmanifest? Not recognizable, integral, imperceptible is unmanifest. Something available for perception, objectification, transactable, recognizable, it is vyaktam, manifest. What is unmanifest? See, we use the word unmanifest. Of course, unmanifest is the translation. I do not use because we also say when the universe becomes unmanifest, when you fall asleep, again becomes manifest. What is unmanifest can become manifest also. An object also is unmanifest and unmanifest. The universe, the world of object is unmanifest. Means it is not available for perception, not available for transaction, interaction, not available for differentiation. Whereas Bhagavan Swarupam is never perceptible. Why? Because it is very Swarupam of perception, very Swarupam of perceiver, very Swarupam of the perceived. Bhagavan's Swarupam happens to be the very Swarupam essence, nature of the truth of the perceiver, perception and perceived. Bhagavan is ever of the nature of imperceptible form. You are avyaktarup. That's why I said imperceptibly subtle abstract means never abstract, subtlest. The universe is unmanifest, universe becomes manifest also. Bhagavan never becomes manifest. What does it mean? It never available for objectification or perception. That is why I said imperceptibly abstract, subtle. Yeah, the word unmanifest, we use the word for unobjective, but in this context, I want to purposely avoid the term. This is Swamiji's unfoldment. Sometimes the trans people might have translated it as the unmanifest, but we suppose unfold.
Thank you. Thanks.
Any other question, Ajay?
Yes, Swaminiji. Just a quick one. I don't know, like, maybe I'm jumping the guns. Swaminiji, the reality is imperceptible. And you always say, cognitively we have to resolve it. Resolve the mitha, basically. But is there any way, other way of explaining cognitively, how do you understand? Because it is imperceptible. And we still have to cognitively...
No. When I say cognitively resolvable means, I'll give an example first. Cognitive resolution. You are asking for of the meaning of the word cognitive resolution.
Yeah.
See, I tell you, let me give you the grossest example for that. Before I go to the other things. See, when I say there are waves, there's an ocean. And every wave, which is inseparable part of the ocean, is different from the ocean. Wave is different from ocean. Ocean is different from wave. Why we have to use say there's difference? Because difference in form and name. Form, name and function. Difference is obvious. At the same time, there's also non-difference. The standpoint of the water, there's non-difference. And you understand the truth of the wave being water, truth of the ocean being water. Have you understood the fact, you can say what? Oh, even though wave seems to be different from the ocean, the standpoint of form and name, actually there's no wave at all. Wave is ocean from the standpoint of the truth water. When you say wave is ocean, you're equating the wave to the ocean. And you have resolved cognitively the form, name and function called wave in the water. Without you did not go out and push the wave into the water. Not physical. You resolve the form, the name and the function called wave in the very water. What did you do? For you to say there's no wave other than water. When you say, what do you do with the form, name and function called wave? You have physically not done anything. But intellectually you have resolved it.
Yeah. And that is as far as the mind can do, isn't it?
Yeah.
As far as the mind can do.
When I say cognitive means it's only mind only, no? There's no physical, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So that's as far as mind can do, isn't it? And then there, the mind, obviously it's the identity in the mind, the ego, tries to understand why this mind, which is the reality, which is imperceptible. Now, this ego, it seems to be strengthening the ego. The teaching seems to be strengthening the ego, asking you to learn this Guhya knowledge. This knowledge, which is so secret. You learn this and then you will get liberation. Basically, liberation is basically just, it's cognitively resolving the ego itself, isn't it? So.
Of course. In fact, the whole teaching is to resolve the very ahankara. Yes. In fact, you don't need to resolve anything else. Nothing needs to be resolved. Absolutely, what is to be resolved ultimately is the very I sense. Cognitive resolution of I sense in its own sarupam is moksha.
Absolutely.
Ahankara has to be resolved. Here, see, we don't say who has desire. There's no such thing. There's something, the phenomenon called desire itself is there in the form of a thought as part of the mind, antakaranam, because of this ahankara. So ahankara is a blessing in disguise. That's why in Vedanta Shastra, we never say having ahankara is wrong, we never say.
Yeah.
What ahankara? It is not wrong. Okay? It's there. As a thinker, when as a human being, when you search for a solution for the problems, then the reason Shastram gives this. Yet there is ahankara. What ahankara? The knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am itself is ahankara. So I am is knowledge. It's not a problem. I am is beautiful, not just beautiful. But this knowledge, what happens because of this I is not understood what it is. There's no knowledge. Knowledge being not there, it's not a problem again. It's not a crime. It's natural. So then the wrong identity, I is identified with, because it's closest to proximity with the mind and mind with the other body minus complex. The rest of the aspects naturally gives rise to all other thoughts and confusions.
Yeah.
So then anything added to I am becomes what? A notion. Wrong notion.
Absolutely.
The wrong notion is looked upon as bloated ahankara.
Yeah.
So the knowledge of now exists in the self itself is ahankara. Aham iti jnanam. Namasmi iti jnanam itself is wonderful. But that's ahankara. But anything added to that I am becomes what? A wrong notion, which is a bloated ahankara.
Exactly. And that's what the Shastram is right now at this point in time in this pedagogical approach. It's trying to strengthen the ego that you know this knowledge and you will get liberated. How can ego see its own absence?
You, when the Shastram is addressing you, does it address just the I sense alone? The body, mind, and relative you means tvam, has two meanings now, only Lakshartha, Vachyartha. The Vachyartha had the interest. The thing which is rendered with the body, I sense, associated with the dimensions complex. Having identity with the body mind complex, claiming oneself to be a human being, when you say, I am here as a human being, I am having problems, then you are addressed. So ahankara is not actually, not doesn't become aggravated, it's not bloated. Teaching is just given. The teaching is given, ahankara is not strengthened. You are helped to see the ahankara first of all.
Yeah.
In teaching, you are helped to see ahankara. Therefore, ahankara is not strengthened. So you are helped to see what ahankara is. And that itself is mistaken to be the strengthening of ahankara.
Right.
Until you're exposed to this teaching, you do not even know what ahankara is.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately, we are trying to, just the ego is trying to see its own absence.
You get the point, but ahankara is not strengthened. Ahankara, you are helped to see ahankara first of all.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because we are placing so much of importance for ahankara, ahankara, then it looks as though it's strengthened, but it's not actually. You are helped to see what ahankara is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Swamiji, it's good. Your voice was breaking when you were answering, but I got the gist of it. So, thank you.
But the whole class was okay today. Was it breaking?
No, the whole class was okay. Just last few minutes, last few like 2-3 minutes, it was breaking a bit.
Okay, sorry. We will continue again. Now, I think, see, we have to. See, we have come to 9th chapter now. Almost middle of Bhagavad Gita. Now it will become clearer. By repetition of teaching, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm still a little bit, obviously it can't be perceived. I understand that. But what is that knowing and what is knowing by mind? Mind will just know concepts, which is mithya. And the knowing, real knowing, the aparoksha knowing basically, how that can be cognized? It's just not possible.
No. That is what I'm saying. As the understanding happens, as first listening repeatedly, again we had to go back to the unfoldment, the basic unfoldment. We will do that in the class. We try to objectify this. That's the point. Like any other jnana.
Yeah, that's I know.
That is the problem. It will go gradually. It will become clear.
Okay. Thank you, Swamiji.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.